gaming, tech, and politics. We're diving deep into the mix.
Ah, that's good, huh?
New releases, latest trends, putting rumors to the end. Hot debates with endless views, and yes, we do love waifus.
Okay.
Right.
Oh, no, no. Sometimes it does that. It wants to give me 80 million outros. Yeah, we don't need that many outros.
I like that outro.
Oh, fine. We'll listen to it. It's only 3:55, so they did finish it. It won't cut it.
Face down, ass up, that's the way. I mean, it's catchy. It goes with it.
I actually do like this one.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna put it in a different folder.
For a later on keep.
Yes. Because yeah. The ones I like, I'll probably hold on to.
Oh, yeah. Then I can have a catalog. Oh, what are we listening to? Oh, this DP Grimlord mix.
Yeah,
I like Grimlord DP mix. Whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, like the 30th to 40th mix we have of these. Okay. So which one was that? Oh, yeah, it did that thing. I don't know. Anyway, okay, that was Grim Articles Groove 9. All right, good. We got that one.
Ooh.
Now we're back to our regular stuff. All right, guys, so it's the Grim Lord here. I'm not feeling too good, and I have to admit a few things. So, I fucked up my neck. Yeah, it happens when you get older sometimes.
Especially that old.
So, basically, what I was doing is I had my neck or my... I guess I was up against the bed. And it got stiff, and it actually pulled a muscle in that whole area of my back and neck. And it's really hurting. Like, I mean, it was hurting so bad yesterday that... Even though I had plenty of time to make new content, and I planned on making content, I physically couldn't do it. Like, I couldn't even grab the mouse the mouse was too far away, and like, I mean, you couldn't even play a game. I literally had to watch YouTube videos because I couldn't do anything. So, thankfully, when I woke up, I had more mobility. I still didn't go to work because I didn't want to chance it, and we had a lot of stuff going on, so I had just enough to cover it, and I relaxed. I was even told, you know, just recuperate. So that's what I've been doing. I've been recuperating. I've been using ice. I've been using heat. I've been doing everything to kind of fix this thing. It was even affecting my swallowing at first. Oh, yeah, because if you mess up some of the muscles in the neck, it can mess up with your esophagus and all that, because it's all kind of connected. So when you swallow, like, dude, just swallowing bread was like the worst thing in the world. Mm. So I had...
Did you have to spit it out?
No. I didn't have to do that. It's just like everything would get kind of stuck in there. You have to push it down with water.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that sucked. It's not like that now. I was able to get Wendy's and pretty much chowed down on that, so that's no problem. But in the morning, it was really bad because, again, it was just... I mean, the pain and everything, the muscles were tight. So yeah. The muscles were so tight everywhere, it was just... Ugh. But yeah, that's why I couldn't make any content. I still have plans for the next week of October. I mean, this week's pretty much fucked, guys. There's not much I can say about that. But we're not done with the Halloween Horror Month, whatever you want to call it. We still got a whole nother fucking... Let's see, what is it? Yeah, we got a whole nother about 2 weeks, don't we? 2-3 weeks?
Till what?
Till November.
November.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Yeah, it's right there. I'm looking at the calendar.
The 10th.
It's the 10th. Yeah, it's the 10th. It's so
second weekend.
Let's see.
October or.
Yeah, it's the what the fuck does it say? Thursday is. It's not the 10th. It's the 12th.
Oh.
Today's the 12th. It'd be the 13th, technically.
Well.
So, yeah, I got 2.5 weeks to make it up to you guys. So what I'll do is I'll try to, if I can, bring you a little bit more videos than normal so we can kind of wrap it, you know, so we can kind of go ahead and really get that stuff going. We still have our dead days for the 31st, and I ordered Yamazomi Liberator, which is... Woo, cost me a little bit. Again, these games are high. So that one's going to come in, I don't know, whenever they release it. I pre-ordered it. So we'll have that for you guys as well. You know, that's a really fucked up one. Yamazomi games are all about corrupting women to become fucking sluts. So,
do you really have to try that hard these days?
But in these games, you take like the... Women love these games, by the way. But basically, you take the pure girl that's never been and you turn her into a raging cock slut.
I tell you, those are usually easiest because the curiosity.
I know that, but I'm saying in this one, you just defile them and corrupt them and corrupt them and corrupt them until finally they just, yeah. It's very popular with the ladies.
Or if they like, oh, I've never done that before, and then you find out they're a pro.
Oh, yeah, I got you. Okay, so, at any rate, guys, we've got to go ahead and get started. So, Elon Musk unveiled yesterday, I watched it live, the Tesla Optimus robot that can be your friend. So, we got it, guys. We got the robot, the humanoid that can do chores for you for $20,000 to $30,000 a pop. If you're
not a fuck robot.
No.
We need to be clear on that.
Not yet.
You will hurt your penis.
If you're too lazy to go to the grocery store or open that front door for your Instacart delivery, Elon Musk has a solution for you. Musk on Thursday night unveiled the Tesla Optimus robot, the company's new 5'8 robot that can be what Musk called your own personal R2-D2 or C-3PO. The Tesla boss gave a premiere of the bot, a preview rather, of the bot, which the company plans on selling in 2026 at Warner Brothers Studios in Burbank, California. What can it do? Anything you want. It could be a teacher, babysit your kids, walk your dog, mow your lawn, get the groceries, just be your friend, serve drinks, whatever you can think of, it'll do. Faceless Robot, which looks like it could be the third member of Daft Punk, will cost $20,000 to $30,000 once the company is producing them at scale. Here's them walking around. Now, people are worried, obviously. I mean, it's good to have a nice, a healthy amount of caution. Because, I mean, yes, it's only 120 pounds, but that is 120 pounds of metal. And it can, you know, that can hurt if it decides to do anything. But right now, they walk very slow.
Very slow, easy to get away from.
I don't think there's, yeah, a lot of people are like, oh, no, this is going to be like iRobot, which... It's funny that Musk called...
This is like the first gen, so it's probably like the base.
Yeah, it's not going to be anything major.
But it's still amazing.
Yes, it's fascinating. We've got a real walking robot. I mean, that's historical.
Is it talking?
Yes, it talks.
Good.
They talk. What was it? 2 Chainz was talking with one of the robots. He wants to buy one and teach it the jump shot. $20,000 to $30,000 at scale.
Nah.
It's only going to be for the extremely rich right now, as everybody's predicted. As TFM told you, nothing has changed. Everything that TFM said in that time is true. But eventually, it'll be cheaper. And there you go. I mean, is it what I want? No, I kind of want something a little more, you know,
realistic
with some, you know, some something like that. But I don't think we're going to get that just yet. I think
that's
it's going to be
a
while off, and that's fair.
This is pretty amazing, though.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah. I mean, it is amazing. It's very fascinating. So I think that was the most important thing to open up with. While Musk was on stage, the video behind him called the robot an autonomous assistant and humanoid friend. As the audience watched it water plants and play board games with the family, Musk did not say whether the robot from Rocky IV inspired Tesla's bot. Later, event attendees were able to play the robots in games of rock, paper, scissors, watch them dance, and have them serve drinks. I've seen them do it. I think this will be the biggest product ever of any kind, Musk said. I think everyone is going to want their Optimus buddy, maybe 2. Yeah, when the money starts, you know, rolling in from the comics, the dungeon of comics, you know, then maybe I'll have one and we can have it read, you know, read some of the games.
We'll see.
Musk, who has shared his concerns about rogue artificial intelligence wrecking humanity, said he believed there was an 80% probability of good from mass robot adoption. Beyond household chores and playing with your kids, it'll be able to do certain jobs like move boxes and warehouses. Well, that puts me out of business. That's exactly what I do.
Yeah,
the cost of products and services will decline dramatically. Tesla's robots will likely spark further debate about the rise of AI and how it'll affect workers in a variety of industries. This was a hot topic at the Wraps the Grill conference in Los Angeles earlier this week, with panelist Justine Bateman saying Hollywood's increasing use of AI will burn down the business. Okay, and ooh, there's Terrifier. Going to see that tomorrow. It's a really good movie. It's done very, very well. It took the Joker way out. Like the.
I still haven't had a chance to watch that yet, but...
Yeah, you're not...
Like I said, I'm not rushing that.
You're not missing nothing.
I did finally finish watching Ministry of Ungentlemanly Conduct, or Warfare. It was really good.
My mother's been watching The Chosen.
I like The Chosen. It's good. I hadn't gotten very deep. I think
She's pretty far
well,
in.
Well, the fourth season, I believe, is the crucifixion.
They're not there yet. They haven't aired that yet.
It's
coming up.
And then the next following season, which is like, you know, that happened within a 3-day period.
Sure.
You know, I would think the next season would be like the 60 to, I think it's 60 days at people saw him periodically, proving he was alive.
For 60
before
days.
Before he ascended into heaven. Okay.
So 2 months he was walking around letting people know he was still
appearing
around.
Appearing to the disciples, appearing to different people.
Okay, that's interesting. Because all I remember is that during the 3 days he went down to hell and got the keys from the devil.
Well, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's before he rose from the dead.
Right.
When he came back, he had the keys of hell.
Right.
That's why we don't
Well, they said people went to, before that, people would go to purgatory.
Well, they say a lot of things. Who knows? I hadn't seen it in the Bible. That didn't
right.
mean
right, that's
possible.
True. I mean, I don't even know. But, okay, so now we've got something interesting. Potential breakthrough, as scientists claim two people communicated in their dreams in a world first. Interesting. Scientists have brought science fiction one step closer to reality by achieving the first two-way communication between individuals during lucid dreaming. An experiment that sounds like a scene out of the movie Inception, REM Space, a California-based startup that designs tech to enhance sleep and lucid dreaming, reportedly exchanged a message between two people who were asleep. The company used specifically designed equipment, which included a server, an apparatus, Wi-Fi, and sensors, but did not specify the exact tech they used. The study participants were asleep in separate homes when REM Space researchers beamed a word created through a unique language between them. Okay, that's cool. REM Space CEO and founder Michael Raduga said, "Yesterday, communicating in dreams seemed like science fiction. Tomorrow, it'll be so common we won't be able to imagine our lives without this technology."
You better be at the dream meeting, 1 o'clock sharp.
Yeah. Well, there's more to it than that.
Rape me in my dream.
Yeah, that could be a thing. This opens the door to countless commercial applications. What this means, guys, is they want to try to sell you shit in your sleep.
Like,
and
fuck themselves.
Fucking ads and pop-ups in your sleep. Can you imagine you go to sleep and they're like, you get a pop-up for OnlyFans? Or you're like, okay, all right.
I don't
say,
like getting them when I'm awake.
Say you're getting a goddamn, like, oh, I'm fucking, oh, and you can see more if you go to my OnlyFans. And then you wake up and you're like, what the fuck? Like, that's gonna, you know how people get crazy, like, he was a good man and he never did anything wrong until one day he just woke up and that was it. Oh man. The technology has yet to be reviewed or replicated by scientists, but if validated, it'd be a major milestone for sleep research and could provide applications for mental health treatment, skills training, and more. REM Space used specifically designated equipment to allow two individuals to successfully exchange a simple message while lucid dreaming, the company claimed. Lucid dreaming is when a person is aware they are dreaming while still in the dream state. This allows them to perform self-directed actions in their dreams rather than randomly interacting with the dream world without any sense of control. I know what lucid dreaming is. The phenomenon happens during REM sleep or rapid eye movement when dreaming typically occurs. REM Space has not revealed exactly what equipment was used, but if the experiment involved an apparatus that tracked participants' brain waves and other biological data during the experiment. Oh, but said it did, excuse me. It also involved a server that can detect when participants enter a lucid dream and generate messages that are transmitted to them. Two study participants slept in separate homes while their brain waves were remotely tracked by the apparatus, which fed data into the server. Oh, it's very interesting. One of the servers detected that one participant had entered a lucid dream. It generated a random word from the special language and transmitted it to him via the earbuds. Participant then repeated the word in his dream, and the response was captured and stored in the server. 8 minutes later, the second participant entered a lucid dream. The server transmitted the stored message from the first participant to her, which she repeated upon awakening. REM Space was able to repeat this experiment with another pair of participants, but the study will need to undergo rigorous review before the company can definitely say that they achieved dream communication. Raduga, who is confident about their results, is widely known for his ambitious and sometimes bizarre experiments. In 2023, he put his life on the line when he attempted to implant a microchip into his own brain to control his dreams. 40-year-old has no neurosurgery qualifications compared to his extremely dangerous experiment in the film of Inception, claiming his electrode one day has the potential to change the course of lucid dreams. Gruesome footage of the procedure shows him holding his skin back with paper clips while bulldozing the back of his skull using a drill he found at a hardware store. Wow, mate. We're going to stop reading on that note. I think we've got it.
Don't get any wild ideas.
Yeah. Christine Quinn. Strange husband Christian Richard gains legal win among divorce battle. Hey, the man won. Let's clap for that. We've got to clap when the man actually fucking wins because it's very rare.
But then he killed 10 puppies.
Let's see. Let's you know, we always check. Liz Hurley, 59, looks sensational.
Yeah, she's
she looks all right for 59.
I'd
yeah.
plow that 59.
Let's
turns
get
that 59 into a 69.
She had a better look. Damn!
Yeah, I'd give her the business.
Holy shit, she's 60? Folks, 59. That is 60. Dude, we might as well go on and say 60.
Yeah.
She's 60 and she looks like that? I mean, I know how makeup is, but even without the makeup, the body is still the body.
The body, ain't made up,
the body is not. Well, now some people can say it's like plastic surgery.
Who gives a shit? They feel real good enough for me.
I mean, goddamn. Okay, I mean, she's.
A British accent going on. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't tie it down. Because then in 10 years, the age difference is just ridiculous.
No, you don't want to tie it down. 70 hits.
Oh, no. The bottom fell out.
Kanye West accused of drugging and raping ex-assistant Lauren Piscola at Diddy Party.
Had stuff on. You know, the rappers that worked with him have said they've been raped by him. Former girlfriends all coming out of the closet saying he raped them, that he had a group rape them, rape the girls. You know,
shit.
All the baby oil.
Boy, they was raping everybody.
You think they had 800 something bottles, I think maybe more than that, all full of date rape drugs. So when they rubbed it on the person, that it took effect through the skin instead of through the digestive tract.
Damn. Well, that's it's pretty sad. This girl died, 25 years old, and it wasn't some drugs or something. It said complications related to Addison's disease and asthma. Yep.
Oh.
Yeah, it happens. She was gorgeous.
Addison's disease. Don't know what it is.
Yeah. Well, it happens.
Well, y'all look it up later.
Yeah, we'll look it up later. Okay, alright, so, husband spends family's $135,000 savings on freakiest girl on OnlyFans while his wife was battling cancer.
Oh, wow.
A Colorado mom said she discovered her husband was draining their bank account on OnlyFans while she was undergoing treatment for cancer. Melinda Lamb said she discovered it after a credit card payment for her son's karate lessons was declined in December 2021. That led the 46-year-old pharmacist from Colorado to check the account she shared with her husband. At least six credit cards were maxed out, she said, and nearly $40,000 had been drained from their savings. One card statement suggested where the money might have gone. It says, OnlyFans, 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 recalled Lamb, who was then undergoing chemotherapy for breast cancer. And that's the girl.
I would spend $150 on her.
Her husband would ultimately spend $135,000, folks.
Sounds like the wife wasn't keeping her into the...
Creators on OnlyFans, a subscription, we know about that, according to Lamb, and records she shared with Reuters. She said she was preparing to file for bankruptcy and finalizing a divorce. Not only was it shocking, she said, it was devastating. OnlyFans and its supporters portrayed the platform as a safe and empowering outlet for a lucrative, socially acceptable sex work. Nurses, teachers, police officers, and Olympic athletes have posted racy content in pursuit of extra cash. As OnlyFans takes porn into the mainstream, however, the platform also generated ripple effects that have upended lives in unexpected and sometimes traumatizing ways. Reuters reported some of the most direct harms and investigations that exposed CSAM and non-consensual revenge porn posted on the site. Those findings were drawn from police complaints obtained from more than 250 of the largest U.S. law enforcement agencies. Remember, they found missing people that have been missing for fucking decades on there. Yeah, sex trafficked. But the files also reveal collateral harms, families torn apart, reputations threatened, and finances ruined. Aside from Melinda Lamb, who said her husband's porn-buying spree destroyed her marriage, the police files describe a creator who unwittingly made sex videos for a close relative. Women and girls shocked to find their likenesses stolen to sell porn, and passerbys who found naked men making porn in public for her fans. Another creator filmed himself in lewd acts with a dog. There's something different happening with OnlyFans. Megan Tyler, researcher at La Trobe University in Melbourne, who specializes in harm against women in porn, said, "It's really affecting norms and even our everyday experiences in public places and public homes and relationships, and it's having an effect even if we've never visited the site ourselves." OnlyFans didn't respond to questions about Lamb's case or others in the story. On its website, however, they said it's building the world's safest digital media platform for creators to express their most authentic selves. In a speech last year, Chief Executive Kelly Blair described OnlyFans as a real community where creators and subscribers had nicer, kinder, more supportive conversations than on other platforms. Amanda DeCrosta and Mike McFarlane, a former player for the Indianapolis Colts, who posted videos of them having sex on his OnlyFans without her permission. During their interactions with subscribers, creators sell customized content, solicit extra money and tips. It's proved a winning formula, but they don't really make that fucking much. They only make about $200 a week extra, which could be, I mean,
it's okay, but is it worth being on the internet forever?
Right.
Possibly not being able to find a job because they won't hire a whore.
After discovering her husband, well, see, the thing is, it's become so
mainstream
that, yeah. After discovering her husband's credit card spending in January 2022, Lamb decided not to confront him right away. She was too ill from chemotherapy and radiation treatments. I didn't have any energy. She did some sleuthing on a home computer and discovered that much of the money went to an OnlyFans creator called Laura Shine from Bogota, Colombia. Shine's online profile once described her as the freakiest girl on OnlyFans. Some of the money, Lamb said, had been withdrawn from her husband's pension. Soon, the marriage began to implode, according to Reuters interviews with Lamb and police and court records. So this is just a few dollars. But then we have 100, 100, 200. Man, he was really making that girl. Woo!
Rich.
Yeah, at least 6 credit cards were maxed out, she said, and nearly 40,000 had been drained from their savings. And you don't even know that this girl, like, doesn't have pimps and all that kind of stuff. We're talking about Colombia. Boy, he was making money for the Colombian gangs and shit out there, maybe. Lamb eventually confronted her husband in February. He slammed her head against a car window and punched her repeatedly. She alleged in court records on an assault complaint against her husband. The next month, she called the police, reported her husband had become angry at their 5-year-old son and thrown him to the ground, nearly injuring him, according to an Aurora Police Department report. She told a responding officer that her 7-year marriage had become rocky, and she feared her husband would only become more violent. By that point, he'd spent $65,000 on OnlyFans, plunging the family into major debt and causing her major emotional damage. Lamb told Reuters she moved out, taking her son with her. A month later, with the husband's OnlyFans spending now at $80,000, he assaulted her again, according to his arrest warrant affidavit prepared by a police detective. She told Reuters she was picking up their son from a visit when the affidavit says her husband chased her in the bathroom, smashed her head against a mirror, and tried to strangle her. When he released his grip, he warned, "I'll finish you up later," before leaving the house, according to the affidavit. Lamb called the police and was hospitalized. Shards of glass fell out of her bra. She changed it to a hospital gown. Damn. Although Lamb pursued assault charges against her husband, she later dropped them. She said the side effects from her cancer treatment made it difficult to muster the strength to get through a trial. Lamb, who underwent surgery to remove a tumor, said she is expected to survive the cancer. Lamb's husband,
crazy at him beating her, cured the cancer?
Did not respond to emails, text messages, or phone calls. According to the arrest warrant affidavit, he denied all allegations, including that any assault took place. While extreme, Lamb's case illustrates how an OnlyFans subscriber can become hooked and quickly rack up spending on a site. Platform users must supply a credit card to pay for subscriptions, customized porn, and tips. You put your card in once, and then from then on, you simply click a button to buy, said Rob Weiss, California-based sex addiction specialist and author of Sex Addiction 101. Chatting with models on OnlyFans can fill the void, he said. It's like the drug addict who's buying drugs and says, "I know I'm spending my kids' college fund, but hey, I want to get high." The OnlyFans creator Shine promised Lamb's husband a future together and repeatedly asked him for large sums of money, according to Lamb and screenshots of OnlyFans messages. "Would you be able to send the $2,000, baby?" Shine asked while chatting with Lamb's husband on OnlyFans in May of 2022. Soon after, he uploaded a receipt showing he'd wired $2,000 through Western Union, which is really a bad thing. Now, that's the shit you can actually get in trouble for.
It can't be tracked.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. The two made plans to vacation together the next month at a resort in the Dominican Republic, a trip Lamb said they took. Shine declined to comment. Lamb called her husband's obsession with OnlyFans the ultimate betrayal. What hurt most, she added, was dealing with the mess while fighting cancer. OnlyFans is making all this money at the expense of people like me, she said. It's just money in their pocket. They don't think about the repercussions. Sometimes OnlyFans creators themselves are traumatized. A 21-year-old Seattle woman lost her job as a restaurant server, so she created an OnlyFans page and posted sexy pictures. A man paid her $25 a month. He began messenger on the platform saying he'd pay for racier shit. They always do that. He was obsessed with me, she said. He spoke on the condition she'd be identified by her initials. After about a year and a half, she closed her account. I got tired of it. It wasn't for me. But the arrangement with her most enthusiastic fan continued after he found her on Instagram. She still needed money, she said, and he paid well. About $10,000 for explicit photos and videos for more than 2 years. Wow. So all this... Well, good Lord, nurses, teachers, police officers. So who the hell is that?
Is that Laura Shannon?
No.
No, nurse teacher.
That's Sharna Beckman. Uh-huh. God, there's so many. A dog named Rocco. Well,
a dog named Rocco? What kind of porn is that?
Okay, we do have to talk about this. In February 2022, Missouri Animal Shelter received an unusual tip. A man was posting sexually explicit videos involving a dog. The videos featured Aubrey Jones, now 25, and various sexual encounters with a gray pit bull named Rocco, according to records filed by prosecutors in Missouri court. Tipster told KC Pet Project Shelter that he had discovered the bestiality several months earlier and alerted OnlyFans, which took the account offline, the records showed. Since then, Jones had created a new OnlyFans account where he reposted the old sex videos with Rocco and even added a new one. Jones ultimately pleaded guilty to animal abuse and misdemeanor, was sentenced to 2 years of supervised probation. He was forbidden to own an animal during that time. He declined to comment. Yeah, that's what we're talking about here. Some people said that they were victims of another phenomenon, fake profiles. Is this you? A friend messaged Scarlett Riviere, a Florida law student. When Riviera checked the account, she found her own face staring back at her. Below her profile picture were sexually explicit images of someone else. The OnlyFans account was purporting to show nude pictures of mine, even though they weren't my pictures. The person who made the fake account also created an Instagram page in her name. Wow! She was angry, frustrated, and worried that the fake accounts could damage her job prospects. Riviere was studying cybersecurity and cyber law at the time, but that didn't stop her from being targeted. Yeah. Instagram parent company Meta didn't comment. On its website, Instagram says it takes safety seriously. These companies aren't taking safety seriously enough. That's the law student. Was shocked. Good a friend. Yeah. I mean, she's gorgeous, but she didn't want those pictures up there, and that weren't her. Yeah. They picked a girl that looked like her, even AI. Yeah. Even AI. You can do that with AI now. Let's see. So, there's just so much here. There's so much. Porn in public. There's so many things in this one article about OnlyFans. I could go into a whole thing. Matter of fact, I think I'll do this with Empress tomorrow. Not tomorrow, but Monday. And we will talk about this whole situation because we really need to go through all this. But we can't do it now.
No.
So let's go ahead and go to the next article. TikTok is getting sued by 14 U.S. states claiming it's responsible for decline in teen mental health. TikTok and its owner ByteDance are being sued in California and New York by a group of 14 state attorney generals, alleging the company misled the public about the safety of the platform and the platform is actively harming the mental health of U.S. teenagers. Specifically, the lawsuit alleges that TikTok's targeting advertising business model relies on maximizing the time spent on the platform, so it uses addictive features to get users, especially young people, to stick around for long periods of time. Those teenagers then, unable to pull away from the platform, are exposed to harmful content that allegedly lowers self-esteem, promotes harmful behaviors, and reduces mental health. The lawsuit also alleges that TikTok violates the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act, COPPA, by collecting and monetizing data on users under 13 without parental consent and misrepresents the use, the utility of built-in safety tools. The lawsuit cites around-the-clock notifications, auto-playing endless streams of videos, content that's only available temporarily, likes and comments, and beauty filters that alter appearances of some of the platform's addictive and harmful features. It also mentions an incident earlier this week where a 15-year-old boy died by subway surfing, a trend he allegedly discovered on TikTok, and cites other incidents of teenagers engaging in the Kia challenge, a trend where people are supposedly taught how to and encouraged to steal Kia and Hyundai cars. The bipartisan coalition unites the state attorney generals of New York, California, Illinois, Kentucky, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Mississippi, New Jersey, North Carolina, Oregon, South Carolina, Vermont, Washington, and the District of Columbia. The group is led by New York Attorney General Letitia James and California Attorney General Rob Bonta, with James in particular boasting a long history of leading efforts to regulate social media platforms in the U.S. Young people are struggling with mental health because of addictive social media platforms like TikTok, he said. TikTok claims that their platform is safe for young people, but that is far from true. In New York and across the country, young people have died or gotten injured doing dangerous TikTok challenges, and many more are feeling sad, anxious, and depressed because of TikTok's addictive features. Today, we are suing TikTok to protect young people and help combat the nationwide youth mental health crisis. Kids and families across the country are desperate for help to address this crisis, and we're doing everything in our power to protect them. The coalition is seeking TikTok to be prevented from engaging in the behaviors alleged in the lawsuit, as well as pay financial penalties connected to advertising revenue gleaned from targeting teenagers, among other penalties. Earlier this year, Congress passed legislation that would force ByteDance to divest TikTok within the next year or have the app removed from app stores in the country. TikTok responded by suing the U.S. government, claiming that it's being singled out for a ban is unconstitutional.
Yeah. I mean, you ought to put limits on Facebook and Instagram while you're at it, because it's the same thing, just slightly different.
Yep.
Honestly, they need an app that has gathering places, or, you know, like, you look by state, city, and location, and it gives you places like, meet up on this day for this event.
Meet up on this day. Or
then you have family events, like if you want to go with your kids, it has all the state parks you can go to, what events they have, because sometimes they'll have events, different places in the city. Like, there's probably places all over.
They're not trying to do that, though. They're trying to corrupt everybody.
Yeah.
Basically, this has been explained in videos.
Yeah.
The original Chinese version of TikTok, which isn't called TikTok,
isn't nearly the same thing. It's more educational.
It's more uplifting. It's got positive videos. There's no degeneracy on there.
Yeah. So it's the fact that.
So they're using this platform to basically corrupt the youth.
They want to take over.
Yes, they want to collapse the government. Yeah, collapse the nation. Dear Abby, I gained more than 100 pounds and my husband is no longer attracted to me.
Maybe because he likes skinny bitches.
Yeah! 17 years ago, I had a mental breakdown. For the first 3 years afterward, my husband stood by me. The medication I was prescribed caused me to gain more than 100 pounds. I tried diets to no avail. I suggested to him that maybe we could hold each other and see where it led. His reply was, I'm no longer attracted to you. You knew when we were married I wasn't attracted to larger, fat women. Since then, I no longer value him.
You knew what I was into.
He has his room and I have mine on the other side of the house. We do nothing together. When he comes to my bedroom, he doesn't knock. When I need to go through his room, I always knock. He said, this is my house and I don't knock. He said, this is my house too and I don't knock. I can't stand his arrogant ways. I still have to pretend we're married, but I don't feel it. He calls me baby. I have expressed I have no interest in pretending and have asked him to stop calling me that.
Now, who's tired of who?
I'm on a fixed income. All my retirement money is invested in this home and property. I pay all the bills. We haven't had sex in 14 years. You're not a couple anymore. You're just roommates.
How long have you been
chunky? I'm lonely for male companionship. I don't know how much longer I can live this way, even though he didn't leave when I really needed him. Please advise. Numb in Alabama.
Oh, Alabama story, eh?
It has been 17 years since you were prescribed the medications you've been taking. There may have been improvements made in the intervening years. Contact the doctor who prescribed them and ask whether there is something newer that would allow you to lose some of the weight you haven't been able to lose.
Ozempic.
That's a very good point. Ozempic, yeah. It may help if you explain what those meds have done for the state of your marriage. If adjusting your medication is not possible, you'll decide how important male companionship is to you because you may have to find it elsewhere. Consult an attorney and ask what you would wind up with if the house were sold and the money was split. After that, you'd be in a better position to explore your options. My husband of 20... Oh, okay. Well, that's all
and
we
get
have.
Get that beach body back again. You know, that's, I'll put it to you this way. I mean, if I'm in love with someone and they get overweight, if they're at least trying, I can overlook that. And I mean, I can still be in love with someone that's gained weight. That doesn't...
Oh.
But...
Right.
That's initially not what I look for. I look for someone that's fit. One, because if you're looking for a partner, you know, genetically and biologically, you're looking for someone that could birth kids if you want to have kids.
Right.
Even if you're not wanting to have kids, that genetically that and biologically, that's what you look for.
Okay, so Ars Technica, the true cost of game piracy, 20% of revenue. Throughout the game industry's short history, there's been ample debate about how much piracy actually impacts a game's legitimate sales. On one side, some publishers try to argue that every single pirated download should count as a lost sale that they would have logged in a theoretical piracy-free world. On the other side, some wiseacres argue that most pirates would never consider paying for a legitimate version of the game in the first place, or that piracy can actually be useful as a word-of-mouth promotional tool. It can. While the true effect of piracy on sales revenue is likely somewhere between those two extremes, piracy's precise financial impact on a game has always been hard to nail down. Now, though, a recently published study uses post-release cracks of Denuvo's DRM protections as a sort of natural experiment on game sales in pre- and post-piracy worlds. The results imply an average proportionate loss of revenue of around 19% of each week of release if a crack is available, according to the study, suggesting that effective DRM can actually have a significant impact on the publisher's bottom line. This is a peer-reviewed journal, Entertainment Computing. Basically, they examined 86 different Denuvo-protected games initially released on Steam between 2014 and 2022. It includes many games where Denuvo protection endured for at least 12 weeks. Crucially, the presence and or specific timing of a crack's availability couldn't be effectively predicted by characteristics like pricing or critical review scores. That makes the existence of a crack a particularly exogenous event, that can be used to effectively segregate a game's revenues in a no-piracy world. And a piracy-filled world. The variable timing of a different crack releases also helps the relative analysis, since revenue is highest close to release date, and therefore a crack that appears close to the release date has a disproportionately large effect on revenue. Unfortunately, the lack of good publicly available sales data for most games makes it difficult to measure those revenue effects directly. To estimate a Steam game's relative sales decline in each week after release, Volkman had to use a proxy that combines a number of new Steam user reviews and free single-player narrative games, the game's average player count, which really doesn't say that much. While Volkman acknowledges that these imperfect estimates represent the biggest limitation of the study, and any estimated biases away from actual sales data seem likely to cancel out across the various games in the sample.
That's how it works with hard copies of video games, too. All the people that were excited for it to come out get it. And then over time, less people buy it. And then some people like, now that's within my price range to risk whether it's good or not. I'll get it and try it out. But of course, it's not near as much as when it was first released.
Right.
Goodness. Got that indigestion.
Percent of total revenue lost by week cracked. Let's see. So, they said Denuvo is doing just that. The median Denuvo protected games lose almost no sales to piracy because the protection more often than not goes uncracked in that initial 12-week window. In a world with no DRM, on the other hand, Volkman projects those games could expect 20% less revenue at the median. Whatever you think of DRM schemes like DeNovo, the potential to protect against that kind of revenue hit is something that major publishers might find hard to ignore. And there are signs that DeNovo's protection is becoming more crack-resistant in recent months. The CrackWatch subreddit lists 28 DeNovo-protected games released in 2024. 26 remain uncracked, and two of which were cracked well outside the 12-week release window. As we see in this study, that kind of robust protection can be a significant amount to piracy-wary game publisher. So, let's see. Pretty hard to word-of-mouth argument is a part of the original. Alright, so basically what I'll say is we just had a DeNovo game cracked by someone that wasn't Empress. And no, I'm not talking about the one on my show, obviously. I'm talking about the old DeNovo cracker. Yeah, Rune apparently cracked an old Ubisoft game. So, they cracked it with DeNovo, and it's the first time they've ever cracked a DeNovo game outside of her. People used to wait for her, who was apparently a tranny or something. It's a really fucked up crazy person. But they were just really good at cracking. So, this team cracked this game, and people are like, oh my god, it's happening. We're actually able to start cracking DeNovo. So there's 28 games right now. And remember, DeNovo was created by crackers. People that were good at cracking games. Mm-hmm. They hired them to make DeNovo so they could make the best protection available. Because these are people that are skilled at cracking. So they're like, hey, we need you to make something that can't be cracked. So now they've got crackers that are fighting against crackers.
Those
in order
damn
to get
crackers.
It's really crazy. But yeah, I prefer DRM-free gaming, so yeah, that's, just say GOG is the place to go.
Okay, we have black crackers. It's just regular old crackers.
Okay, so,
crackers with
got some more piracy news, guys. So, High Anime, Kiss Anime, and more piracy sites under major threat following U.S. court subpoenas. Following the shutdown of its predecessor, AniWatch, earlier this year, the MPA is now seeking the identities behind the world's most popular anime piracy site, High Anime, through a new U.S. court subpoena. Last week, the Motion Picture Association of America requested that California federal court issue several subpoenas for customers of Cloudflare and the Tonic Domain Registry. Via Torrent Freak, these customers included the most popular anime piracy site in the world, HighAnime.2, which posted a massive 302.2 million total visits in the last month. The subpoena seeks to learn any identifying information on High Anime's operators, including names, IP addresses, payment info, and more. High Anime isn't the only anime site listed, joined by Anime Sama FR with 33.9 million visits, AnimeSaturn.mx, KissAnime.com.ru, and several other sites potentially associated with High Anime, including HighAnime.nz, and smaller sites like HighAnime.nz and HighAnime.sx. As High Anime CDN, content delivery service, Cloudflare replicates its infringing content across its servers globally, granting end users faster access. While flagging High Anime as a notorious pirate in a report to the U.S. government, the MPA name-dropped the company due to the massive number of piracy sites among its customers. All legal stakeholders were reminded of their role in preventing piracy with Cloudflare often providing uncooperative with revealing alleged pirates' information and shutting these sites down. Meanwhile, the Tonic Domain Registry, responsible for granting the top-level domain .2, is one of the most sought-after destinations for piracy sites, alongside countries like .mexico.mx, somalia.so, russia.ru, and others. With the subpoena request, the MPA continues its efforts to track down High Anime's operators who previously operated AniWatch and Zoro.2, of which were the biggest anime piracy sites in the world at one point. In fact, after AniWatch was taken down, it immediately rebranded as the current High Anime, highlighting the incredible difficulty of containing piracy spread. While efforts continue to disrupt the world's now most popular anime piracy site, Enhentai, the world's largest free adult manga piracy site, was recently sued for copyright infringement following similar attempts to secure a subpoena. The site's monthly visits have fallen slightly since, likely attributable to complaints over occasional lack of site access and pages not loading. So that sucks, anime fans. But yeah, they're forcing you to do the crunchy roll.
Well.
So
I mean, I think it's aggravating too, because they don't offer hard copies. Hard, and you know, you think about how hard it is to get a hard copy of an anime nowadays.
Yeah. Well, we've got more news. This is big, because we've been promoting this for a while. Well, it's down. The Internet Archive is under attack with a breach revealing info for 31 million accounts. By the way, guys, if you did notice, I do not have an account with the Internet Archive. Good thing. A pop-up message said the online archive has suffered a catastrophic security breach as its operators say the site has been DDoSed for days. Okay, when visiting the Internet Archive on Wednesday afternoon, The Verge was greeted with a pop-up claiming the site had been hacked. After 9 p.m. ET, Internet Archive founder Brewster Kahl confirmed the breach and said the website had been defaced with a notification via a JavaScript library. Here's what the pop-up said. Have you ever felt like the Internet Archive runs on sticks and is constantly on the verge of suffering a catastrophic security breach? It just happened. See 31 million of you on Have I been pawned? A website where people can look up whether information has been published in data leak from cyber attacks. You do know about Have I Been Pawned, right? Okay, so that's where you can look up your information to see if you've had your data leaked. The operator confirmed to Bleeping Computer that he received a file containing email addresses, screen names, password change, timestamps, bcrypt hash passwords, and other internal data for 31 million unique email addresses 9 days ago and confirmed it was valid by matching data with the user's account. A tweet from HIBP said 54% of the accounts were already in his database from previous breaches. No big deal there. In posts on his account, Hunt gave further details on the timeline, including contacting the Internet Archive about the breach and moving forward with the disclosure process. To today, when the site was defaced and DDoSed at the same time, they were loading the data into HIBP to begin notifying affected users. Okay, after closing the message, the site loaded normally, albeit slowly. As of 5:30 p.m., the pop-up was gone, but so was the rest of the site, leaving either nothing or a placeholder message saying Internet Archive services are temporarily offline and directing visitors to the site's account on X for updates. Jason Scott, an archivist and software curator at the Internet Archive, said the site was experiencing a DDoS attack, posting on Mastodon that according to their Twitter, they're doing it just to do it, just because they can. No, we actually do know what's going on. I actually checked it out myself. SN Black Meta is like, oh, Palestine and Israel. Literally, he's talking about Palestine and Israel. And dude's like, okay, so dude basically got fucking cooked by 230,000 people that completely destroyed this guy, made a laughing stock of him to the point that he had to make his account where only certain people could respond to his messages. Mm-hmm. The hacker is like, people were telling him he should burn in hell. People were sending him death threats. Wow. People were about ready to kill this guy. Oh, yeah. Because this is the guy that's like, literally, I'm taking down the... It's like, people were like, no, fuck you. And he's like, dude, you're not gonna... It's like, okay. He thought that the Internet Archive had something to do with Israel. Nothing. It has nothing to do with Israel. By the way, there's even hackers that want this guy now. So this guy is in, like, deep shit.
You know what TGF Fridays makes me think of? Free Palestine. No.
Right, right. That's literally what he was doing.
Yeah.
You
know what Walmart has in common with the Israeli people? Free Palestine. It's just stupid.
Later on Wednesday evening, called the Internet Archive, confirmed the breach. An account on X called SN Black Meta said it was behind the attack and that another was planned for tomorrow. The account also posted about DDoSing the site in May, and Scott has previously posted about attacks seemingly aimed at disrupting the Internet Archive. So, yeah.
I mean, honestly, I think the Internet Archive should be a thing just for the sake of...
Yeah.
You know, some companies don't ever want some of the media to see the light of day, and it doesn't make sense. And
I think the hackers have Down syndrome or something. Oh yeah, I was actually listening to the conversations between them. This guy was getting so cooked by the internet.
Oh, well,
the hacker is the pure definition of tell me you're an idiot without saying you're an idiot. If IA is gone, the preserved and historical internet is gone as well. That's why we can't have nice things. People with lower IQs than chimpanzees exist. Yeah. Yep. Let's see.
Did he get a smarter person to hack it for him?
You have a typo here. Hold on, that's not it. Cloudflare, I've donated to IA in the past. They actually do protect them, though, through Project Galileo. I think it's something technical. I just checked their DNS, and they use Cloudflare name servers. An attack on the internet is an attack on the Internet Archive is an attack on the internet itself. Dude, it brought a tear to my eye to see 230,000 people fighting, rallying against this fucking guy. There were people about ready to bring him in. And it's like, you've gone too far. There's a guy on our data holder that is currently scraping the site. He has something like 4 petabytes left to download. Complete madman. Wow. That's crazy. Some people just want to watch the world burn. Maybe, but touching someone's home isn't the way to teach them about the necessity of insurance. Oh, yeah. So right now you guys can't use the Internet Archive. I got my Shin Kamen Rider just as it went down, though. So, yeah, it sucks.
I don't know. That conflict's the first time I've seen where one group of people go in and kill 2,000-something plus people and kidnap who knows how many others and then says, it's the Israeli people that are to blame. Like, you're the one invading their land and cutting off heads. Anyone invades my land and tries to cut off heads, they're dead motherfuckers.
So, this is a stupid thing. It's like I don't allow Roblox in my home with my kids, but they're not letting me look at it, so what the fuck. Alright, so what else do we have? We have... okay. New exercise pill mimics the effects of running a 10K without effort.
What?
Researchers in Denmark have developed a new drug that mimics the effects and benefits of strenuous exercise without moving a muscle.
Maybe that chubby bitch can use it.
The study published in the Journal of Agricultural and Food Chemistry maintains that the drug produces the same health benefits as running a long distance at a fast clip. Currently called Lake, the drug has been shown in lab rats to flush toxins and strengthen the heart. We've developed a molecule that can mimic the body's natural metabolic response to strenuous exercise and fasting. Dr. Thomas Poulsen, a chemist at Aarhus University who led the research, said, in practice, the molecule brings the body into a metabolic state corresponding to running 10 kilometers at high speed on an empty stomach. Following exercise, the body typically enters a period of inflammation where levels of lactate and ketones spike. In addition to triggering the release of appetite-suppressing hormones, the spike also flushes fatty acids from the bloodstream, reducing the risk of conditions like heart disease, stroke, and type 2 diabetes. According to the American Heart Association, 1/3 of U.S. adults have 3 or more risk factors that contribute to these. The release of lactate helps maintain metabolic function. Meanwhile, a ketone is produced by the liver and kicks in anytime the body begins to convert fat into energy, after long periods of exertion, during fasting, or when there is a carbohydrate deficit. Researchers say Lake can safely and effectively control the amounts of lactate and ketones produced by the body. It can be difficult to maintain motivation to run many kilometers at high speed and go without food, Poulsen explained. Lake promises to deliver the benefits without the difficulty of exertion, which could be a game changer for those with injuries or compromised health.
Wonder how much they're going to charge for that shit.
For people with physical ailments such as a weak heart or general weakness.
Now, if you have a general problem, I don't know how well this will cure it. But you'll be able to run a fucking marathon.
A nutritional supplement can be the key to better recovery, Poulsen said. Lake will soon undergo human trials to determine its safety and efficacy. If successful, the molecule could be developed and marketed for humans.
Yay. It is great. It gives rats 6-pack abs, but it kills humans.
Shit, we don't even know.
Wouldn't that be crazy?
Yeah, could happen. You'll know. All right. So, got some music news here. Limp Bizkit is suing UMG, Universal Music Group, guys, that's what that is, for $200 million in unpaid royalties. Universal is blaming the situation on an advance paid to the band for recording costs as well as a software error. UMG is getting into some hot dog flavored water with Limp Bizkit. Fred Durst, the frontman of the band, is suing the label for $200 million in damages because he alleges the company neglected to pay him in royalties. The complaint, which he also asked for the return of the copyrights, was filed in Los Angeles federal court on Tuesday, according to Bloomberg. Durst isn't just stopping with his own band. He's taken his he says, she says bullshit all the way into the ladder to protect other bands that work with UMG under his Flawless Records label as well. Per the outlet, Durst maintains he's never received any royalties from Universal throughout his career, despite the fact the band has sold 45 million records and is experiencing a renewed surge in popularity due to streaming. It seems like lots of people are doing it for the nookie because the band has already received 450 million streams so far this year. New metal's coming back. Dude, I actually saw young people wearing trip pants again. Trip pants and JNCOs are fucking coming back. And I'm like, oh my god, new metal's coming back. UMG, I had to tell Empress about it. She's like, oh, it's coming back. I was like, yeah, this is great. We need it. It's the time. UMG is, but you know what? On my playlist, new metal never left. I've had a System of a Down song in my head.
Well, yeah.
All day.
Well, shoot, that's what every generation listens to their generation of music.
UMG is countered by claiming that Durst still owes them money. Apparently, the label paid the band in advance to cover recording and other album rollout costs. That was made to be paid back before the band started receiving royalties. Company is alleging that they are still $43 million in debt due to Durst, in debt to Durst, and the band hasn't received any royalty statements since they are not required to provide them since his account was still so far from recoupment. Plot thickens. Bloomberg explains that Durst's team discovered that Flip, the original label that signed Limp, had allegedly been paid millions through profit sharing with UMG. Wow. While Durst received nothing. Further, when the team logged into a UMG database to view his Durst statements, the complaint claims that they found over $1 million in earnings that had not yet been paid. UMG is apparently blaming this oversight on a software error.
Sounds like bullshit.
Yeah.
Think you better sit.
The suit is still early. Suit is still in its early stages. But it has the potential to really shake the music industry if what Durst is claiming is true. Our biggest question is now is whether Durst will draw on his experience acting in I Saw the TV Glow to play himself in the movie adaptation, or whether the inevitable future studio will go in a different direction. Timothy Chalamet might not want to start preparing for his next great music biopic now. Man, if they do a Limp Bizkit movie, I'm going to be there. That'll be fucking great.
Shit about me again. Fuck that motherfucker.
Yeah, well, see, you know what? You know why these music is doing so well?
What?
Because people want vulgar, hardcore shit back again. They want with balls. They don't want this bullshit anymore. They want, oh, you can't say this, you can't do that. Fucking Limp Bizkit was all about that.
If you take the speech away from the music, it becomes stale.
Right.
And nobody listens to music to hear stale. Like,
right.
Fucking want feeling and emotion.
Right.
That's what music's supposed to do, is spark emotion and feeling.
Yeah. Okay. We got the last one. Doctors find a cockroach in the vagina of a woman who went to the hospital complaining of an extremely strange feeling in her private parts.
Maybe she should clean her vagina up. That usually what
a woman has had a cockroach removed from her vagina after she went to doctors complaining of an extremely strange feeling in her genitals. Patient who has not been named came to the clinic in Honduras complaining of, they have really big roaches there, of feeling extremely restless, agitated, and sweaty. She had also been unable to sleep the previous night and said it felt like something extremely strange was in her vagina. Doctors were stunned when an examination revealed the dead insect inside her. It was immediately removed and the woman was discharged after being checked for injuries.
In more ways than one.
Medics who treated the woman in Tegucigalpa, the country's capital, said they had previously dealt with condoms and sex toys in patients' private parts, but they were very anxious when they spotted the insect, at first for the hospital. Dr. Mario Colleagues, a gynecologist who looked after the patient, said the woman said she had something unusual in her vagina. When I introduced the speculum, I could see that it was an insect. In fact, I had to take out something like a cockroach. Speculum is a piece of equipment used by medics to see inside parts of the body, like a vagina. It's unclear how the cockroach got into the woman's body or how long it had been there for. But Dr. Kovac said the woman was from a rural area and was already dead when it was removed. A number of cases of insects getting stuck inside people are reported annually, with doctors at one Alabama hospital saying they deal up to 5 each year. But this is normally in areas such as the ears. It's extremely... I've had one happen. With the ear, I had a hissing cockroach in my ear, and that was a pain in the ass.
What?
Yes, this happened a long time.
Where are you going and finding hissing cockroaches?
It was a small...
A pet?
No. It was a small roach.
It seemed like the hissing ones are like the Madagascar.
I guess. I don't know. But this thing was in my ear, and I had to basically use alcohol to flush it out, and I killed it, and it finally came out. A number of cases of insects getting... this is over 20 years ago. But this is normally in areas like the ears. It's extremely rare for a cockroach, the most common insect, to crawl into someone, according to experts, to be spotted in a vagina. Insects that get into the body can be dangerous because they can scratch sensitive tissue, such as the vagina, ear, triggering an infection. Warning signs of problems include pain or swelling. Dr. Kalix added that with vaginas, insects getting stuck inside them could cause abnormal or foul-smelling discharge, bleeding, swelling, or rash.
Probably attracted to the smell.
It comes after a woman in Vietnam who went to the doctor complaining of hearing buzzing was found to have a mosquito in her ear. She came to the clinic and DM'd whatever with a complaint. Doctors investigated with a small camera to find that there was a mosquito in it. It was a nasty shock who had no idea, but she quickly had it removed in order to avoid the ear damage. Doctors used long, thin tweezers to take out the insect. 2019, they said that insects can easily fly into someone's ear. Cockroaches found in ears because they go looking for food.
Yep. Brain food.
Gotta be careful.
That sounds like Nightmare on Elm Street a little bit.
Yeah, it does a little bit. Okay, so... I think that's all we've got.
Sounds great.
Yeah, we're pretty much done. I mean, I got 80 million articles here that I may never get to.
We got a movie to watch tomorrow, are we?
Yeah.
I gotta hook up to my machine.
Yep. All right, guys. So I wanted to bring y'all something, and don't worry, I'm gonna try to bring y'all that content. We got two more weeks of Dark Month. I'm calling it Dark Month. That's what I've been calling it. We've got. Yeah.
It's Halloween.
Yeah. So we got almost three, because it ends on Thursday, and yeah, we got plenty of time, guys. Don't worry. And I've got a big surprise for the last week, so you'll see. But at any rate, guys, this is the Grim Lord, and I'll see you guys next time on the Grim Articles Show. I am out of here.
Later.
Enjoy the decline.